oh, you're going to sit over there. You're going to, okay, that's fine. No, actually, no, because then I can sit down and that'll be great. Yeah. All right. Good morning. My name is Erin May Quaid. I'm the Advocacy Director at Gender Justice. We seek to advance gender equity through the law. We're here to talk about Senate File 2909 today. Well, on its face, this bill might seem benign. It's actually part of a countrywide push to force LGBTQ youth further into the margins under the guise of promoting parents' rights. We should be very clear that parents have rights under the Minnesota Constitution. This bill is an attempt to appease the small minority of parents who don't want schools to continue their work to create safe, supportive, and affirming school environments for all students. This bill is not about parents' rights. It's about allowing special interest groups with no expertise in education or education policy to micromanage teachers, administrators, and school boards who do not cave to their hateful agendas. Bills across the country have been moving through state legislatures that target LGBTQ youth. This includes Florida's Don't Say Gay bill, which would prohibit children with same-sex parents from even mentioning their family in school. Oklahoma's SB 1654, which bans schools that use books that have their primary subject as LGBTQ issues. Tennessee's HB 800, which would prescribe classroom materials that promote, normalize, or support LGBTQ people or lifestyles. And Kansas's HB 2662, which forbids any material that depicts the mere existence of same-sex couples. And here in Minnesota, we have Senate File 2909. The bill language doesn't actually address LGBTQ students, but it was clear in the testimony from supporters of the bill that they hope that this is a vehicle to marginalize trans and LGBT students and thwart ongoing inclusion efforts in schools. We know that safe and affirming spaces are crucial for all youth, especially LGBTQ youth, and we know that this bill's supporters hope to put LGBTQ youth in danger and potentially life-threatening situations. Proponents of this bill have said that they hope that it will end the Minnesota State High School League's trans-inclusive policies, retract the toolkit for ensuring safe and supportive schools, allow students who bully and harass LGBTQ students to not face disciplinary consequences, force educators to out LGBTQ students even when the student has said that it is not safe to be out at home, and to ban the stories of LGBTQ people and their families. Supporters in both the Education Committee and the Civil Law Committee made it very clear what they hope that this bill will do. So we are here today to talk about this bill, to let folks know that this national wave of anti-LGBTQ legislation is not something that's just happening in other states. It's happening here in Minnesota. And we wanted to make sure that Minnesotans know that this is happening almost sneakily, because we know today that this bill has been pulled after we organized this press conference and sent opponents of this bill to their senators to say, do not vote for this bill. I want to end with some statistics, and then I have some folks here who are with me to talk more about particular aspects of this. We know that 42% of LGBTQ youth seriously considered attempting suicide in the last year, including more than half of trans and non-binary youth. 72% of LGBTQ youth reported symptoms of generalized anxiety disorder in the past 2 weeks, including more than 3 in 4 transgender and non-binary youth. LGBTQ youth who have access to spaces that affirm their identity and their sexual orientation report much lower rates of suicide. And LGBTQ youth who are subjected to conversion therapy reported more than twice the rate of attempting suicide in the past year compared to those who are not. So I want to be very clear, whether this bill passes, is voted on today on the Senate floor, having these conversations in public with adults at the seat of power in Minnesota is harmful to children, and it absolutely has to stop. As we debate about the humanity of LGBTQ youth, bullying and harassment increases, their humanity takes a hit, and it has to absolutely stop. We cannot keep entertaining groups whose policies passed in school districts led to the suicide of 9 children continue to get up and try to push policies and that target LGBTQ youth. So next, I want to invite up Fran Hutchins, who's the Executive Director of Equality Federation, to talk a little bit about this national landscape that we're seeing.
Thank you, Erin, and thanks everybody who's here today. I'm Fran Hutchins, Executive Director of Equality Federation, and we are the national network of all of the organizations across the country like OutFront and Gender Justice who are fighting these types of bills. Like Erin said, there are a lot of them. So, you know, I'm here today also because I live here, right? I'm a Minnesotan, And I believe, and I think we all believe, that across our races, our backgrounds, our genders, we all want to be treated with dignity and respect. And today, certain politicians, even here in Minnesota, you know, they are trying to restrict our freedoms because of the color of our skin, because of what's in our bank accounts, because we're transgender. And, you know, it's really unfortunate. They're exploiting divisions and fears among us. And we're here to reject that. We're here to reject the division to ensure that each of us has the freedom to be ourselves, to pursue our dreams and our education, right? And to have a good life, no exceptions. But these politicians want there to be exceptions. As Aaron mentioned, legislators across the country are pursuing hundreds. And I was looking at my tracker this morning, and we're up to nearly 200 anti-LGBTQ bills across the country. And they're targeting especially transgender youth and their families in many areas of life. Politicians are seeking to intervene in schools. They are seeking to insert themselves in healthcare settings, and even to separate children from their loving families. Nearly 200, as I said, have been filed this year, and many are advancing. They're advancing quickly. And even we have state executives in Texas, for example, taking independent action on this issue. And if you've been watching the news and what Aaron just told us about, we've got the Texas Attorney General and Governor ordering their Children and Family Services Agency to investigate parents for providing their trans kids with the love and care that they need. We've got Florida's school censorship and surveillance bill, AKA Don't Say Gay, and their even broader racist and anti-LGBT bill, the Stop Woke Act, were approved in their house last week. But this isn't just happening in the states where it's making national news. As Aaron said, it's happening here in Minnesota, even if it's trying to happen sneakily. We've got anti-transgender censorship and surveillance bills moving through legislatures at a rapid pace. And to be clear, that's what this is. Senate File 2909, it's not an isolated case that's tailored to meet some need here in Minnesota. It is part of a coordinated national campaign attacking LGBTQ people that's grounded in prejudice and misinformation and spearheaded by these extremist organizations. So these attacks amount to government overreach. They would effectively prioritize surveillance and censorship of teachers and students over liberty, privacy, freedom of speech. So to all LGBTQ young people and their families, as Aaron said, even having this talked about at our state capitol, even having this on, even having it filed and having it talked about is damaging to trans youth. So I want folks to know, I want trans youth and their families to know that you're loved, that you belong in our schools and in our communities, and that you are worthy of dignity and respect. So thank you so much for having me today, and I want to invite Jess Braverman up here to speak.
Everyone, thank you, Fran and Aaron. I'm Jess Braverman, and I'm the legal director at Gender Justice. The authors of this bill claim it's to promote transparency in schools, but what we actually need is more transparency at the legislature. Fundamental rights are rights that are in the Constitution, not in bills and statutes. The scope of fundamental rights are determined by Minnesota courts, not a small group of state senators. An attorney from the Minnesota Family Council testified in favor of this bill, and she claimed that this bill was a counter to the Minnesota High School League's trans-inclusive policies, the Minnesota Department of Education's transgender toolkit, cultural competency requirements for teachers, and policies affirming trans and non-binary kids' names and pronouns at school. I have two things to say about this. First, we know exactly what happens when a small group of vocal parents, led by the Minnesota Family Council, along with other organizations like the Parents Action League, get to have a say in how public schools treat LGBTQ kids. In 2009, these organizations pushed the Anoka-Hennepin School Board to adopt a sexual orientation curriculum policy, where they said that teaching about sexual orientation is not part of the district-adopted curriculum. Such matters are best addressed at homes and churches and community organizations. Anoka-Hennepin staff are to remain neutral on sexual orientation, and they weren't allowed to teach it anything about sexual orientation in the curriculum. Discrimination, bullying, and harassment at Anoka-Hennepin against LGBT youth got so bad that 9 children in the district committed suicide. The school district got sued and they paid. The environment was so toxic that the school district had to be monitored by the federal government for 5 years. The school district got sued again by Gender Justice, the ACLU, and Stinson, and they had to pay again. During this monitoring period, after these hateful organizations pushed the school to violate the rights of transgender students. So I want to be clear that Gender Justice will not let these organizations continue to harm LGBTQ students in the state of Minnesota. And second, to the legislators who think that this bill will be used to roll back LGBTQ student rights, and to all of these organizations, I just want to be clear that supportive parents of LGBTQ youth and the youth themselves also have rights, and I can promise you that if this bill passes, we will do everything in our power to make sure it's used to promote the rights and safety of LGBTQ youth in the state of Minnesota. Thank you. Oh, and next is Dave Edwards.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dave Edwards. My pronouns are he, him, and his. I am the parent of a trans non-binary sixth grader, and I'm here today as the voice of Transforming Families Minnesota and Gender Inclusive Schools. Transforming Families Minnesota is the largest and longest running organization of its kind in Minnesota, and it is a community of over 500 families and caregivers with transgender and non-binary young people. I'm also a career educator, a licensed special education teacher, and the CEO of Gender Inclusive Schools, where I provide whole staff training to school districts using the Welcoming Schools program on proactive supports for LGBTQ young people. I also help districts across the state develop gender inclusion policies that match the guidelines put forth by the Minnesota Department of Education and the Minnesota School Boards Association. Anytime a bill like SF-2909 is put forth in our legislature, our queer and trans students experience further discrimination and marginalization. Think about the impact of watching adults who do not have your best interests in mind debate your very existence. Imagine how it would feel to have people you have never met scheming to prevent you from accessing the best practice recommendations at school that every major medical and educational association in the United States provides. I can tell you it feels awful for LGBTQ plus kids, and it feels really rotten as a parent to watch folks cold-heartedly attack our kids. I was talking about the anti-trans legislation across the country with my sixth grader on the way back from play practice last week. After describing the situation in Texas, they asked me, why are they trying to exterminate us like we are bugs? Words matter. Even if this bill actually is withdrawn, it's still extremely harmful to our kids. The idea that our public educators, who are already underappreciated and undervalued, would be asked to function as an extension of the discriminatory beliefs held by a fringe element in our society is absurd. The proponents of this bill do not represent my neighbors in one of Minnesota's most competitive and purple districts. They do not represent the educators and administrators I work with in rural Minnesota areas. They do not represent the average Minnesotan. Minnesota already has very clear guidelines that allow parents to opt out of any curriculum that they choose, but parents cannot opt out of the existence of members of the school community. My child will continue to show up at school regardless of the privately held beliefs that someone has at home. Positive outcomes for trans youth increase exponentially based on their ability to be their authentic selves in as many locations as possible, and that means at home, in community, and especially at school. For many LGBTQ youth who aren't affirmed at home, school is often the first location where they can access affirmation and celebration for who they are. Contrary to the misleading testimony offered in support of this bill, there is not an epidemic of school staff withholding information about their children from parents. What I have witnessed and what I find really, really encouraging, one moment, I'll find my spot again. When I work with schools, again, from International Falls to the Twin Cities, is that there's an increase in parental understanding and affirmation that is a direct result of the partnership and collaboration that occurs between members of a school community. Fear and lack of information are often at the root of family rejection, and many parents and caregivers are on their own unique journey toward understanding that gender identity and sexual orientation are not something they can encourage or discourage. We need to be increasing the flow of information occurring in our schools, not limiting it. Gender expansive students deserve agency over the name and pronouns they use at school. Social transitions, things like changing your name and pronouns or your gender expression, are the only transitions that our school system participates in, and the stakes are incredibly low. Nothing's permanent. Using the language students ask us to use as educators is a basic human decency. It has no lasting consequences, and since it's impossible to control another person's gender identity, this action has no impact of material concern related to this bill. Finally, to the LGBTQ youth navigating these bills and conversations, I see you, you are loved. Please know that the people attacking your rights now will never be able to define who you are or the way that you exist in this world. You will be able to co-construct your life with the multitude of chosen family, queer people, and allies who are desperately waiting to love you unconditionally for exactly who you are, as your full, authentic self. Finally, please reach out to Transforming Families Minnesota or Gender Inclusive Schools on social media or email if you need help or just want someone to tell you how amazing you are for being you. Thank you so much.
Good morning. My name is Matt Llewellyn Otten, and I am the religious organizer at Outfront Minnesota. Today, I stand with my colleagues and representatives to make clear that Senate Bill 2909 is a direct attack on the well-being of Minnesota's children. The authors of this bill, Senators Eichhorn, Chamberlain, Duckworth, Coleman, and Newman, have made it clear that this is a direct attack on our trans youth. What we are seeing unfold here in Minnesota is not unlike that in Texas. Last week, Texas Governor Abbott ordered investigations into gender-diverse families, threatening to charge parents with child abuse for affirming and loving their own children. To think that this is some distant problem is a fallacy. This bill would require schools to force trans kids to disclose their identity with no regard to their safety. The Republicans' intent is to further schism the relationship between Minnesota's wonderful educators and loving parents. As an organizer and trainer at Outfront, I have been able to spend time in some of our schools. What I have seen is educators who want to affirm the dignity of all students and fully support the well-being of young queer people. They understand that doing so allows students the opportunity to learn fully. As a former youth pastor, I have worked closely with parents who want to love their children deeply and work toward understanding them more fully. Teachers and parents want the same thing, to have structures in place that allow our young people to thrive and grow into excellent human beings. Young people are constantly exploring who they are and who they want to be in the world, and often their homes aren't the safest place. Teachers, schools, and their peers provide the space necessary to express themselves and learn fully. The authorship of this bill is a direct attack against our trans youth, our trusted teachers, and our loving parents across Minnesota. The lack of safe spaces for our young people means that they could be subjected to conversion therapy, which we know is not a legitimate form of therapy, and leads to a statistical increase in death by suicide along with suicidal attempts. To our trans and queer Minnesotan kids, I want you to know that you have value. You matter. When adults step onto these Senate and House floors to debate the validity of your existence, it can feel like you are not seen, that you aren't valued, that we don't care. And I want to assure you that your humanity is valued by me, my colleagues standing with me today, and so, so many other Minnesotans. You matter. You are loved. And to allies across our state, continue to create safe spaces for our young people. Your love and support could mean the saving of a life. I want to invite Senator Lindsey Ford up.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Senator Lindsey Port, and I'm here to talk to you today about SF-2909, both as a legislator and also as a parent. I have two children, and I've done work in the LGBTQ arena for about a decade. My kids know this. We talk frequently at home about inclusion and respect for others. And while my husband and I have fostered a safe environment for our kids to talk about issues like this, I also know that if my kids were to come out one day, I might not be the first person that they would come out to. It's a normal part of adolescence for kids to learn about themselves and find their identities in all of the spaces that they exist in, including school with their friends. I believe that we raise our next generation collectively, at school, at home, through sports and teams, theater and choir, with friends and family. I believe that kids need all of those spaces to be safe for them to grow into their full selves. The supporters of SF-2909 told us in testimony that they hope that the outcome of this bill will end the Minnesota League's trans-inclusive policies, taking away sports as one of those safe options, will repeal the Department of Education's transgender toolkit, making it less safe to be at school, and will counter policies affirming trans and non-binary kids' names and pronouns, a very simple show of respect. Fostering a safe and respectful school environment is vital for all of our kids. While my kids would have a safe and welcoming home to come out to, that's not true for every kid. This bill is demonstrably harmful for LGBTQ kids, and we know from research that when bills like this are heard, whether they pass or not, calls to suicide hotlines and helplines increase. The fact that these bills have a platform at all is harmful to LGBTQ kids and raises the likelihood of suicide and self-harm. Our voices in the legislature matter. Our kids hear them, and our kids deserve better than SF-2909. I want to say specifically to trans and LGBTQ kids out there today, we have your back. You are perfect exactly how you are, and we will not let bills like SF-2909 pass in Minnesota without a fight. I also want to lift up my mentor and partner in this work, Senator Scott Dibble, who is not able to be here today because he's presenting another bill, but he is also with you and fighting on this legislation. Thank you. I'll bring Erin McQuaid back up to lead questions.
I'll bring the rest of you up because people have questions. I just want to end by saying that 16% of Gen Z identifies as LGBTQ. So this is not a small population of students that we're talking about that are being targeted. I think it was 3% of Minnesota high school students in a survey a few years ago identify as transgender. I think almost 10% identify with a gender identity that's different than the sex assigned at birth. So this is a significant population of our school that legislators are targeting through these bills, and that is why we are here to stand up for them, to say that we have your back, and to remind folks in Minnesota that what's happening across the nation is also happening here. But we'll take questions now, if there are any.
If... As far as I know, at least, these bills aren't going anywhere in the House. Why all the concern?
I think two pieces. One, we've seen amendments to bills come up in the House floor, and this debate could continue into the House. But we didn't want this bill to get two hearings in the Senate and be up possibly for a vote on the Senate floor and just let this moment pass us by. It was really clear that this is just the Minnesota nice version of these anti-LGBTQ bills that were happening across the country. And as we talk to folks in our community, people keep saying, oh, it's so sad what's happening in other states. It's happening here too. And we can't just let this moment go by and just say, oh, well, it's not going to pass the House, so it's fine that this conversation's happening. It's not fine, and it is really harmful.
Is that because of, you know, people reaching out about it? Do you expect it could come back at another point?
I'll also let the senator answer, but we sent out an email yesterday asking people to tell their senators to vote no. So I do think attention to this bill and knowing that they would have to answer for some of these horrible hopes for this bill is why they took it off the agenda. But I'll let the senator answer as well.
Yeah, I can just say that we got confirmation about 9 o'clock this morning that it was taken off. Our caucus was not alerted yesterday that it was removed. You know, in the Senate, you don't have to give a lot of notice before you bring bills. So we have to be prepared that it could come back at any time.
Beyond testimony in committee, have you reached out to the bill authors to talk to them about some of what we're hearing here and the impact it could have on LGBTQ youth?
Yeah, part of our outreach yesterday was to let senators know what the impact of this bill is. We've also sent out information, statistics from Minnesota students from their student survey in 2019, and we'll continue to do outreach. It's oftentimes really hard to get meetings with senators in a virtual world.
Let's just, can we get everybody's preferred pronouns?
I use she, her pronouns.
Pardon me?
I use she, her pronouns.
Yeah. I also use she, her pronouns.
I use any pronoun.
You give them a pronoun.
You can use she, her.
You can use she, her.
He, him. He, they.
Is there a concern, I think as Democrats look at the electoral landscape, Republicans could potentially, everyone is on the ballot this fall. I mean, is there a concern that this is sort of ramping up for a potential session in which they control government? And is this sort of mobilizing groups potentially when we look ahead to the election?
Trans and LGB youth are not political pawns. This is only because students are in schools. They can't be here. They have no political power to vote unless they are seniors who are 18 plus. This is only about making sure we are standing for their humanity. This is not about using them as political pawns. We have seen that folks are willing to use LGBTQ youth as political pawns, but you know, I work at a C3 organization. Out Front also has a C3. I mean, we are here to talk about the youth and the harm that these bills have, less about politics. If anybody would like to jump in and talk about elections, you are free to do so, but I won't be. C3 orgs.
I'm a C4.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
Feel free.
So Equality Federation is seeing this happening again across the country, and we do believe that one of the primary drivers behind this is to try to make a political power grab with a specific base that they lost in the last election. They're trying to appeal to parents by calling these things parental rights bills when we know that these are actually school censorship and surveillance bills. And so, you know, we know, like, if you look right now in Florida, the primary driver behind these bills is actually the governor. And we know that the governor is planning to run for a higher office. And so, you know, we definitely have our eyes on these. And as Aaron said, we are trying to do everything we can to stop them from using our children as political pawns. We know that our children belong in schools, in communities, in our families. They deserve health care, and they deserve you know, the freedom and dignity that we all have. And so we do not want these politicians to use these our children as political pawns, but we're afraid that in certain cases, that is what's happening.
Things are going to be found unconstitutional because they're discriminatory?
I would love it if that were the case. Currently, right now in Texas, both ACLU and Lambda Legal have filed suit against what's happening in Texas. And several courts have already put injunctions on the implementation of that. So I would hope that that's what happens, but it doesn't really change the fact that right now this is becoming a major discourse. Young trans folks are hearing about this, and they are, you know, as the senator said, calls to suicide and helplines are increasing. And so, you know, down the road, absolutely, let's hope that that's what happens. But right now, we have to stand up and speak out against it.
Spell your name.
Sure. Hutchins is my last name. My first name is Fran, F-R-A-N.
And I can also speak to the lawsuit component, which is that when you have just a slew of bills attacking children across the country, children then have to step up and be plaintiffs, that in itself is really harmful. So even just bringing a case saying, oh, this bill is discriminatory, you have a child having to go to a lawyer, put their life out there in a public court filing, and have them go through the court system. That should never happen. So every bill that targets trans youth, when that bill becomes a law, a lot of us just sit back and say, don't worry, the lawyers will handle it. But I don't think we think about what that looks like in practice for a child to have to do that. And these are bills that are ultimately targeting children.
Any last questions? Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.